Priya, this is just an attempt to well, a draft for something about the status of ISKCON, why it became the way it became. So, okay, let's try doing some cleaning work. Talking, meanwhile. Okay, so we just had our latest ISKCON. This is for ISKCONers. Mess with another big guy who suddenly came down, and the usual response of some anything from people wanting to drive him out with pitchforks and torches, and others defending him. With quotes from the Gita of Bhagavad-gita and so on, right? So now I've been following this, but not on either of those sides really, but to look a little bit deeper at what's really going on here and why this is happening. One case after the other. Now, the tendency, of course, in situations like that is that you focus and zoom in on that culprit and that which he or she did or is doing. And which is, of course, required, especially if the person behaved abusively and causing suffering to others. Or if there's a risk that unless others understand what's happened, will still continue as if nothing happened, and disciples and other followers will just continue adoring and worshipping and following that person because they are ignorant of what actually happened. Well, but what I want to add here is that the tendency also historically is that there's a storm for a while around that specific person, and then that can only last so long, and everything starts to sink back into oblivion until the next one shows up, and then the same thing is repeated. Now, after having seen that time and time again, I start to, or have started to, well, wait a little with that. No, I'm dictating, okay, but anyway. Now, what happens then is that since forgetfulness is something that tends to cover over things and with time, if these cases are just dealt with as individual isolated cases, and there's only so much we can do of get rid of that person, now everything is fine. Maybe get rid of a couple of supporters and fans. Problem solved. But of course an intelligent person will ask if this is a recurring thing. But maybe there is some underlying problem that we have to address here. Now, this is what I'm trying to do, although I'm not a very intelligent person, but we all got to do our best here, I think. Now, there is this word, fall down. Oh, he fell down. She fell down. In the beginning, that was as if the sky fell down. But now we got used to that. Oh, another one. Sannyasi. Oh, he's not sannyasi anymore. Okay. What else is new? But of course, there is something much more serious than just falling down. And that is violent, abusive behavior that actually hurt others. Now, we have learned that offending a Vaishnava is the worst. It's the mad elephant offense. It can destroy everything. Now, some devotees have learned that, or taken that mainly to mean that they shouldn't criticize other devotees, even if they did anything wrong, especially the big ones. But I guess where the perspective on this offense thing has now changed a bit to the better, I would say. And to the obvious, that if anything is offensive, it is to hurt other devotees by physical or mental violence. Now, it is clearly stated there, we don't need even shastric evidence to understand that those who are leaders should first of all protect the children, the women, and the elderly. So, is there then any more serious offense than abusing children and women. Well, it is that I would say that is now, well, that ISKCON is now and has been for quite some time receiving the reactions on, because and I see that this is the main, one of the main reasons why some devotees are not just satisfied with driving out the latest offender from the movement, but looking one step further, that how could these abusers and obviously unqualified people be allowed to stay in leadership positions for so many years? Why didn't the other leaders, the GBC and so on, replace them when they obviously, and to the knowledge of their other leaders, were not only unqualified but committed atrocities, especially to children and women. And I would add that although this abusive behavior is of course most visible glaringly so when it's happening on that scale, on that level, but I would say, and I claim, and I will show hope here, that abusive behavior is and has been going on all along. Invisibly. and the temples. Towards the ordinary, simple devotees without a voice. Not spectacular enough to cause a big uproar. And I have come to the conviction that if there is anything that can and is destroying the Krishna conscious movement, it is that. Naturally, because we are talking about offensive behavior towards devotees. So what I want to do here is to, which I generally like to do and think is the best thing to do, look a bit deeper at the history of ISKCON, why it became the way it became, and try to see the big picture, connecting the dots, and see, do we find a pattern here? Do we find something that can be described as, you know, a deeper, greater system error, misunderstandings, mistakes done way back that has shaped the movement into certain dysfunctional behavior? Well, this is what I would do here, and I will spend as many episodes here as required to get to the bottom of this. And although I feel by now having been around since just after Prabhupada left, having had leadership positions myself, and thus being fairly informed about the development of ISKCON, ever since then, I think I can contribute with some understanding and perspective on this, but I am, of course, just a very limited person, and there are others who know much more than I do, so I will as much as possible refer to sources of information that I find reliable enough. And I rely also on those of you who may be looking at this. Please comment. If anything here can be contributing to a constructive discussion, then I'm happy. I absolutely do not sit here claim to give the answers, rather just making a humble attempt at analyzing the situation. I know that some may be thinking, oh, why are you dwelling on this? And you may be, you're just critical, go chant Hare Krishna instead. Well, I'm doing that too. And the purpose of this is not to be critical. It is to completely realistically and without closing any eyes, look thoroughly at what it is that has caused the less than healthy, less than happy and strong state of the Krishna conscious movement that it is in today. And if you then say, well, I think it's fine, Hare Krishna movement is doing great, then okay, my answer is you'll be happy with that then. I am not saying the Krishna conscious movement is bad and terrible. I'm saying I rather want to share a vision here. A vision that I have and many with me, how the Krishna consciousness movement could have and should have been today and can be, if we start doing it right from here. So all the effort that goes into these videos simply motivated by that, not some fault finding, digging up dirt and enjoying that, but to convey and paint the vision for how this movement can become all that we felt it should be, but even more. Because that is my conviction, that this has a great potential. So, yeah, let's go here.